So what they did is they locked up the scriptures and they didn't let anybody read those scriptures. And it was in the Dark Ages. You had to have a priest read them to you because you might read Israel. Mm. And that priest is going to tell you the church.
Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim today on The Believer's Voice of Victory as they show us why the church should take her place alongside Israel in the last days. See prophecy being fulfilled daily as you study the scriptures concerning the end of days.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Billy Brim's back with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. She's talking to us about some things not everybody knows. Glory to God. We're listening, Billy. Jesus is coming.
Well, I know He's coming, and so many things are happening, Gloria, that you wonder how in the world could people be making such mistakes. I'm talking about politicians.
Yes.
And I'm talking about politicians.
They have a lot of hell.
Yep. And I'm talking about politicians in a Christian country, the United States of America. And I remember, and it doesn't go whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. There's been something horrible happening with our State Department now for years. And it's anti-God's plan for Israel. God said He would bring them back and that they had the land forever. And this bringing them back started with Deuteronomy. And I think we will go there and read Deuteronomy chapter 30. You know, this is Moses. Moses wrote Deuteronomy. And God brought the Jews into the promised land, and He said that whoever blesses them will be blessed, and whoever curses them will be cursed.
What about that? Do you not understand?
It's pretty simple. And but even back there, you know, Deuteronomy is written by Moses. He never got to go into the promised land. So God knows everything, what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. It wasn't His will that Israel disobey Him and be scattered, but He knew they would. But He promised that He will bring them back. And that's the big, big miracle that's happening right now, is He's bringing them back. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, verse 1, "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you." He's done the blessings and the cursings. Deuteronomy 28, "If you live in the land, all these blessings will come upon you if you obey Me. Mm-hmm. And then all the nations will see you." That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 14. And so He placed them on a piece of land, if you'll show that ancient map, like a three-leaf clover. He placed them in a land bridge between Europe and Asia and Africa. And so the ancient armies and the caravans went through on this land bridge. And there they were to see that God had blessed them. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28. And of course, all the blessings are in the first part of it. But He says here that all the people of the earth shall see. Verse 9, 28, 9. "The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto Himself as He has sworn unto thee, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of Jehovah, and they shall be afraid of you." These peoples that traveled through there by caravan and by armies, they all were pluralistic. They worshiped a lot of gods, demons they placated. But He said, when they come through this land, they're going to see that you're blessed, you're prosperous, your children are well, your flocks are many, and then they're going to see that Jehovah's your God. But if you don't obey
the blessing,
then I'm going to scatter you. You'll be scattered out of the land. And then here is the promise here, Deuteronomy 30, verse 1, "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you." They'll be scattered, and they were. "But you shall return to the Lord your God." And then, verse 3, "The Lord your God will turn your captivity and have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered you. If any of thine be driven out even into the outermost parts of heaven, from there will the Lord your God gather you, and from thence will He fetch you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And down in verse 8, you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do his commandments. Verse 9, and the Lord your God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land for good. And the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. He's going to bring you home and he's going to bless you. Now, one of the prophets that really tells about this is Jeremiah. And let's look at Jeremiah 30. Because you see, here's where you find the answer. Here's where the politicians need to know these scriptures. They need to know Jeremiah 30 and 31. They need to know what God said so that they will not be trying to divide Jerusalem. I like to watch Pat Robertson and his news, and he covers, of course, every time the State Department sends somebody over to negotiate dividing Jerusalem. And I loved him the other day. He said, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. But all the ones who are trying to divide Jerusalem will bring a judgment upon themselves and a judgment upon their peoples, their nations, according to the third chapter of Joel. So let's just look at this chapter and just see here succinctly in two chapters, there's God's plan for Israel. Now we're talking about watching the fig tree. Jeremiah 30. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel. He identifies himself with Israel. Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Now he's going to give them a word here. He's not talking about the whole book of Jeremiah. He's talking about chapter 30 and 31. It's a book within a book. So Jeremiah writes this. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. They shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Israel's the northern kingdoms, the 10 kingdoms, the 10 tribes that were scattered, and Judah's the southern kingdom. And so he goes and talks about these things. Verse 10, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, when he's going to talk about Israel and its natural seed. He calls them Jacob. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save you from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Verse 14, lately I've been thinking about it. All thy lovers have forsaken thee. So many nations have forsaken Israel. And whenever... And they all gathered together whenever the Hamas and the PLO made a unity government. They went before the earth and said how they recognized it. And those two aren't so against Israel. So I pray that we don't forsake them. But praise the Lord, God will save them. Verse 16, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee, I will give for a prey. So I wrote that, put all those scriptures into a book. The judgment of the nations are going to be for how they treated Israel. I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy womb, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap. That's Jerusalem. And he goes and talks about that.
Then is that ruined heap? Is that ruined?
Yeah, that's ruined. You know, it's been destroyed. And it was destroyed, completely destroyed. They even plowed under the Temple Mount and put a building there to Zeus.
And, oh, mercy.
But he says, I'll rebuild that city. And the end of verse 20 says, I will punish all that oppress thee. Them. And verse 22, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury. The whirlwind of the Lord is always a judgment of the Lord, especially in the last days. A continuing whirlwind, it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of Jehovah shall not return until he's done it, and until he's performed the intents of his heart. In the end of days, you shall consider it. King James says latter days, mm-hmm. but it's the end of those days. We're here now. We're considering this. We're obeying this scripture. In the end of days, you shall consider this. The whole world is going against them now and saying they should divide the land and have a two-state solution and have a divide Jerusalem. But God says, you consider this in the end of days, what he said. And it at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith Jehovah, the people left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel I caused him to rest. Verse 4, again I will build you, O virgin of Israel. And he's talking now particularly to what the world calls the West Banks, the mountains of Samaria. Verse 5, you shall yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. And he goes on and he talks about how he'll bring them from the north country. Verse 8, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coasts of the earth. And with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travails with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. And he's brought them home. There's been a great airlift come from Ethiopia and an airlift come from Yemen. And the people have come home. And then God addresses the nations in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel shall gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. And we could read, I wish you would read all of these two chapters. Bless the Lord. Now, I'm going to read you just this verse 35, because I'm going to talk to you about replacement theology. And this verse right here just knocks it out of the ballpark. Verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun. Well, we go back up to verse 34. He forgives their iniquities, Israel's. There comes one day when he forgives them. I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith Jehovah, who gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who divides the sea with the waves when the waves thereof roar. Jehovah of hosts is his name. If those ordinances, the sun, the moon, and the stars, depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. As long as you look up and see the sun, there's a nation of Israel before God on the earth. If you can see the moon, there's a nation of Israel on the earth. If you see the stars, it's there. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and it cannot, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Well, that tells you that forever there will be on this earth a nation of Israel. Now, why can't they see what Pat Robertson sees, that it's never going to happen, that they're never going to divide that? One of the things, and people who purport to be Christians, and maybe some who even are Christians, have swallowed something called replacement theology. We have Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, you know that. And a lady, this was when President George W. Bush was president, and I was so disheartened when he kept pushing this roadmap to peace. And the roadmap to peace involved dividing Jerusalem, and they're still on it. State Department's always on it. They're on it. And this lady came from Washington, D.C., and she was one who would know. She was politically placed to know. And she said, please pray for President Bush, whom she loved very much. She said, he is surrounded by replacement theology people. Now, what has been so disheartening to me is whole denominations recently, in 2013, put out their edicts swallowing replacement theology. And they said that that modern day Israel has nothing to do with biblical Israel, and that the Palestinians have as much right to the land as do the Jews. Well, God gave the sons of Abraham land.
That's right.
But it's not the part He gave to the successors of Isaac. So what He gave them, He gave them. And there is something called replacement theology. Now I'm going to read you from something that was written some years back by a man who was director of Bridges for Peace in Israel. And he starts out by saying, perhaps you've heard the term replacement theology. It is a doctrinal teaching that originated in the early days of the church. It became the fertile soil from which Christian anti-Semitism grew and has infected the church for nearly 1900 years. Replacement theology, what are its premises? And so he puts down what it teaches. And he begins with, now this is not what I believe, this is not what they believe, this is what replacement theology believes.
Okay.
Israel, the Jewish people and the land, has been replaced by the Christian church in the purposes of God. Or more precisely, the church is the historic continuation of Israel to the exclusion of the former. In other words, God's through with Israel.
That's not possible.
That's not possible. This is another of their premises. The Jewish people are now no longer a chosen people. In fact, they are no different from any other group, such as the English, the Spanish, or the Africans. This is what they say, Pentecost of Acts 2, the term Israel is found in the Bible, now refers to the church. In other words, if you find Israel anywhere in the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, you can substitute church. It replaced it. Number four of their premises he put here, the promises, covenants, and blessings ascribed to Israel in the Bible have been taken away from the Jews and given to the church, which has superseded them. However, the Jews are subject to the curses found in the Bible as a result of their rejection.
How long has that been
Christ.
Taught, do you think?
It's been taught especially since the days of Constantine. Constantine accepted Christianity and made it the legal religion of the Roman Empire. And there was a day decreed which said, tomorrow if you wake up in the Roman Empire, you are a Christian. Well, that brought many people. They woke up, you know, on this certain day, and yeah, Suddenly they are Christians. But you don't get to be a Christian unless you get born again.
That's right.
So Constantine, it was in 306. And then in 321, he made it the official religion. They started having councils where they made up what they would believe, made up their rules as they went along. They had a Nicene council. And this one, I'm going to tell you right now, was, and then the early ones wrote, Hilary of Poitiers wrote, Jews are a perverse people, accursed by God forever. Gregory of Nicaea wrote, the Jews are a brood of vipers, haters of goodness. St. Jerome wrote in 347, he lived in 347 to 407, the Jews are serpents bearing the image of Judas. Their psalms and prayers are the braying of donkeys. And then there came this John, the Bishop of Antioch, John Chrysostom, and he was called the Golden Tongue Orator. He wrote a series of 8 sermons against the Jews, which have been widely accepted. And he wrote, the synagogue is not only a brothel and a theater, it is also a den of robbers and a lodging for wild beasts. No Jew adores God. Jews are inveterate murderers, possessed by the devil. Their debauchery and drunkenness gives them the manners of the pig. They kill and maim one another. He said, I have said enough after 8 sermons.
I think so.
Against those who say they are on our side, but we are against the Jews, and I wish to draw up my battle line. Jews are abandoned by God, and for the crime of deicide, there is no expiation possible. Now, here's the thing about it. Who exactly crucified Jesus? The Romans. And who delivered him to the Romans? The Jews, the Jewish leadership. Actually, mm-hmm. It was the scribes and the Pharisees. What I see is that God put on him the sins of us all.
That's right.
It was in the plan of God. Jesus said, forgive them. So they were forgiven. But because of this kind of a thing, which is devil-inspired, this replacement theology, Chrysostom was known for his fiery preaching against what he saw as threats to his flock. Here's the things he preached against: wealth, entertainment, privilege, outward adornment. However, his preaching against the Jewish community, which he believed had a negative influence on Christians, was blatantly anti-Semitic. And another unfortunate contribution that he made to Christian anti-Semitism was this. He held the whole Jewish people culpable for the killing of Christ. And so they began to call them Christ killers. And they began to, Augustine wrote a sermon against the Jews. Horrible things happened. The Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, the Russian pogroms, you saw Fiddler on the Roof. And all of these things are Christian, so-called Christian, I don't think real.
No.
Because it is written, you don't offend the Jews.
That's right.
But when people...
Under the Christian banner.
Under the cross. And whenever they think, well, I'm a Christian because my grandfather was in this and so. And actually, some of the early Christians who believed the Bible and believed Jesus, they thought that maybe even Constantine was the Antichrist. So that wouldn't go down. He wanted to get rid of the book of Revelation. That wouldn't go down. So what they did is they locked up the scriptures and they didn't let anybody read those scriptures. And it was in the Dark Ages. You had to have a priest read them to you because you might read Israel. Hmm. And that priest is going to tell you the church. Now, I'm going to start out tomorrow. Actually, I don't have time to do it today, but I'm going to start out with something that shows you how you could be affected by replacement theology and not even know it.
Mm. Everybody, watch that. You don't want to miss that. This, you got to have that information.
You do.
So we're looking forward to that. And we will, watch out.
We're going to go with the book.
In Jesus' name.
We're going with the book.
Billy and I'll be right back.
When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way. Luke 21:28. You can know the signs of the times and understand what's going on in the world around you. Watching in the End of Days package will focus your attention on faith, not fear, and what God's Word says about the future. This exciting set of resources includes Signs of the Last Days, an End Times Update, teaching series, and study guide by Billy Brim, and Blood Moons, Decoding the Imminent Heavenly Signs by Mark Biltz. These timely teachings will help you understand the divine link between prophecy, heavenly signs, and historical events, and what they mean to us today. Learn how to watch for God's appointed times revealed in the heavens and the seasons represented on God's calendar. Keep your eyes on the truth. Be equipped for the future. Look forward to the glorious days ahead of God's end time. Order the Watching in the End of Days package available on CD for £19 or on DVD for £29. Order online at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01225-787-310. Understand the divine link between prophecy, heavenly signs, historical events, and when they intersect. For more, go to kcm.org.uk. Order yours today.
Our product this week is Watching in the End of Days package. You need to know these things and you need to know all about it. Billy Brim will tell you lots about it. There might be a few things she doesn't know, but I don't know what they
many,
are.
Many. But I'm watching.
It comes on CD or DVD, and you're going to want it. Also, a book by Mark Blitz, and Billy is going to tell you some things about that.
Well, actually, it's by Mark Biltz.
I made the same
mistake, but he's the pastor who found these Blood Moon Tetrad, and then looked on the NASA site. That's where you find them. He looked on there and found them, and he thought, could these have anything to do, because they come on the holy days, on the Moeds of God's calendar, mm-hmm. and he's the one that put two and two together.
Now, it gives dates, doesn't it,
gives
it
dates,
for the Blood Moon?
Yeah, there one's coming up next Wednesday. And so this will, he titles it, Decoding the Imminent Heavenly Signs.
Whoa.
So we're going to be looking at heavenly signs next week, too.
Good.
And I really had a fun time at Eagle Mountain International Church, pastored by George and Terry.
Oh, you did a great
job. It's a great church. And I had such, the audience was so receptive, and we had such a good time.
No time.
And then we put together a little piece for that, so we're giving
Good.
It all to them.
Good. Oh, that's quite a package. You want to get that. And then when you get it, listen to it and learn from it. So order it today. If you need prayer, we have 24-hour prayer here. KCM, call the prayer line. And we have prayer ministers that know how to pray. God loves you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for us. Let's get on it and stay on it. We'll see you again tomorrow. And remember this,
Jesus is
Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These Word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing.
We're created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. We have the God-given ability to think like Him, talk like Him, see like Him, hear like Him, and get His results. Amen.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event, the 2014 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign, November 13th through 15th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The 2015 Branson Victory Campaign, February 26th through 28th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The 2015 Southwest Believers Convention, June 29th through July 4th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to the KCM website.
Concerning faith and our use of it day by day by day. And it's not a wildfire subject. Praise God, sometimes it gets wild and it's full of fire. But it's not some spooky thing that God don't want you to know about. No, praise God. It is a gift of God, and we need to find out more about it.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.